guys, welcome back to Thick and Thin with me, Katie Bilotti. And I know, throwback to last week when I was like, I'm going to post every Thursday for the rest of time and Thursdays are our day and whatever. And technically speaking, it is Thursday when I'm recording this. It's 10:30 p.m. on Thursday, but most of you guys won't probably be listening until Friday or another day. But I, you know, I'm going to try to post these earlier, but my friends actually came over. So I was like, I've been working all day. Like my phone has been like in a corner. Basically, I've been like not responding to people's texts. You know, when you like see someone's text and you're like, I'm not going to open it because I'm going to forget to respond. So I just like don't even open it. My friends think I'm dead. And like they FaceTime me and as I was sitting down to record this episode and they FaceTime me and they're like, Katie, we're outside. We're getting ice cream. You're coming with us. You are working. Like you got to come with us because we think that you are either dead or just like working yourself into a hole, so you need ice cream. So we went to Van Leeuwen on McDougal Street, if you guys are familiar with Van Leeuwen or with New York. The most amazing ice cream ever, and it was just what I needed. And so obviously we went, you know, like around 6, and it's been like 4 hours of just talking. They've been over at my apartment. We had some wine, and so one thing led to another, and it's now 10:30 and I still haven't posted the episode because I'm just now sitting down. I'm settled with my fuzzy blanket, ready to record it for you guys. And today's episode is actually interesting because I have zero plan. Basically, I had all these ideas kind of swirling, swimming in my brain, and I was like, I don't really know which one to settle on yet. I don't feel like anything has been really, you know, fleshed out. Sometimes, you know, around like Monday, I get like an idea, and usually I flesh it out on like Tuesday, Wednesday, and that just like didn't happen this week. So I thought that I would do a little Q&A style episode where I answer, answer a ton of questions, just like a bunch of random questions you guys had. And I posted on my story that nothing was off limits. So I'm not sure how deep we're going to get, how juicy we're going to get. But I just opened my Instagram and I'm looking through a bunch of like the top line questions in the responses to my story. And I can say already, it's going to be a pretty juicy episode because there's a lot of stuff that I do plan on, you know, answering very truthfully. And I'm aware my mom listens to this podcast, but I'm gonna try to forget that while I'm recording this one. And maybe I'll shoot her a text and be like, Mom, maybe don't listen to this one because we're gonna get into some nitty-gritty stuff. Because my whole mantra on the internet, it's been like this for years, I've just always wanted to talk about the things that are hard to talk about or that people don't talk about. Because you know what, as taboo as like, you know, hush hush as certain things are, it's like they're not that way for a reason. It's like people just like are embarrassed about things. People don't want to talk about things, whatever. And, you know, I don't really care about what people think of me anymore because, you know, that time has come and gone in my life. I used to care a lot. Now I just kind of, I'm just rolling with the punches here. As you guys know, I'm, you know, the past year, 2019 was a big year of just like letting things go, letting go of past, you know, people I tried to be and whatever. And right now I'm just being me. I'm being me. And that means talking about some things that maybe will paint me in a different light than what you are expecting of me. I just love, you know, there's nothing better than showing people that you are a different person than what they thought you were, you know? And like, not like you, it's like a force and you have to do it and have to be like, oh my God, they didn't know, you know, who they were dealing with, whatever. But I just love being like, oh guys, you think that I'm this person, but like, truth behold, or lo and behold, I'm a whole lot more than you think I am. So anyway, I digress. That was just like a weird little pump up moment that I had there, but I needed it. So, okay, we're going to go through the questions and answer a bunch of them. And hopefully this feels kind of just like a girl time chat. My friends were just here, as I said, and you know, we were getting into stuff that I just feel like I wish that the camera was recording. I wish my podcast mic was on. Wouldn't that have been very funny? Because we were talking about stuff and I'm like, why does no one ever freaking talk about this? Or like, why is it reserved for friend time behind closed doors? And you know, in doing so, people don't really know what's going on with the rest of the world. So here I am sitting in New York. There's a bunch of cabs, angry cabs outside. I feel like Thursday nights are like the night to go out on my street. I don't understand it, but you know, I'm here for it. So yeah, I'm sitting in New York. I'm answering these questions honestly, and that's what's gonna happen. Okay, so let's just dive on in. I haven't really read or decided, like I used to make like lists of things I wanted to answer. I did not do this tonight. I'm extremely unprepared. So we're just gonna go as they come, as I decide to answer. Okay. So, okay. I'm not going to say anyone's names just for like the sake of, you know, anonymity. Whatever that word is. Okay, really starting things off heavy. The first question slash statement I'm going to pick at a little bit is best sex advice. So, okay. There's a lot of things I could say here, but I think just top line, probably the best thing that was ever told to me, the thing that I've, you know, come to on my own, just figuring things out, is you're not going to get what you want out of sex if you're not going to be vocal about what you want. And like, okay, I mean, I've always thought it's super sexy, like just if the tables are turned situation with a guy, if he, not demandingly, but if he just kind of gives me some pointers on things that he likes. And I honestly think it's a kind of a sexy conversation to have. If you're just, you know, kind of foreplaying, making out, doing whatever you do to foreplay, you know, on the couch, wherever you are, post date or whatever, and are like, oh, so like what do you like in bed? Like what, like just having an honest conversation, which can be really daunting to some people, of being like, oh my God, like how do I even like start that? Guys definitely, I mean, okay, I'm speaking like in a heterosexual like guy girl relationship, because that's all I really know, but of course, you know, things are probably similar in other relationships, but you know, just being super upfront and having that conversation of like, okay, what do you like? And like, even if it means trying something and being like, do you like that? Or like, oh, you know what I mean? Because I think that there's so much that happens in the bedroom and the other person is like, oh shit, I just can't wait till this certain thing they're doing is over because I don't like that. Like I've met certain guys that like certain things that other guys don't like. And like, similarly with me, I'll notice some guys doing some things and I'm like, what the heck are you doing? Get your hand out of there. I don't like that. You know, I don't like when guys go anywhere near my butthole, first and foremost. I know we're really kicking things off. 7 minutes in, we're talking about buttholes. Spicing things up on thick and thin. You know, if it's going to be something that's going to happen a lot, it's like you don't want to, you know, kick it off saying or like letting him do something and you're like, I really don't like that. And he's just going to, you know, take that as like, oh, she likes it and keep doing it every time. So the best sex advice I have is, of course, like communicating, which I think everyone says, but quite literally being like, I like it when you do this. The best thing that I've ever done is just like guiding his hand to certain places that I like, you know, because I think that guys, as you know, as hard as they try, as many girlfriends as they've had in their lives, it's like hard for them to figure out exactly. I mean, not to mention everyone's pleasure centers are in different places because humans, you know, we're not all made the same. So, you know, it's just important to help them out, kind of coach them through what gets you off, which is super important because I think, you know, during my early days of experimenting with sex and stuff, I was really focused on impressing the guy and I completely just disregarded the fact that, you know, part of sex is, you know, you enjoying yourself too as a woman and like you orgasming too. And I think I was honestly for a really long time, this is like getting super honest here, I was kind of scared of my orgasm. Like I was like so, because it's really all in your head if you really think about it and if you look into, you know, the nature of what an orgasm is, it's like a lot of it is mental. And so when you are so focused on impressing the guy, the focus is taken off of you. And for a while I would, you know, have sexual encounters that I chalked up as being great sex when I didn't even orgasm. And I find that to be kind of just sad thinking about it now because I'm so much more confident in myself now. And I don't know, I've just grown up a lot. And, you know, it took honestly me just kind of figuring out myself and what I like. And that meant just having, you know, experiences with different people, you know, not like, you know, with a lot of people, but like getting to the point where I figure out, and even just personally, like I bought a vibrator, you know, a few years back, and I experimented with just like what certain places I like versus others. And it's just really learning yourself. And I think that honestly, investing in a vibrator was the best thing I ever did for myself. And just kind of reminding myself that it's a two-way street. It's quite literally the most like intimate expression of either love or just lust or just energy, and you should be experiencing pleasure too. So getting a vibrator was key in that. That actually improved my sex life so much, because now I feel like after I hook up with someone, I feel not only like applaud myself for doing a good job. There was times where I was like, wow, I was really good, but like I got nothing out of it besides just like feeling like I did a good job, which is so fucked up. So now I feel like my sex life has really improved because of that, and just the communication aspect and telling the guy, I don't say like I don't like that. I just kind of guide his hand away, or just kind of train him out of whatever he did that I don't like. I mean, there's certain things, you know, guys watch a lot of porn. Girls watch porn too, sure, but like guys watch a lot of porn. And so they see things and they're like, yeah, this is like what the girl wants. And I'm like, no, honey, that is not what I want. So just guiding the hand, having a little bit of a conversation. If you don't feel comfortable having a full blown, let's talk, let's make a list of things we like, you know, you can just do things like guide and just kind of coach him through it in other ways that aren't verbal. Or they can be verbal if you want. It really just depends on you. So those are some little sexy advice things. There's more I'm going to talk about in this, probably more questions related to this, but that's kind of like the preliminary sex advice from me, from yours truly. Okay, so next question I'm going to answer. I'm kind of going to go all over the place, but I do want to answer one more kind of relationship-y question before I dive into other stuff. So how do you feel about meeting your significant other on an app? I was actually just talking about this the other night at dinner with a friend of mine she's in her later 20s. She's a former coworker of mine, and it was actually really great catching up with her and just having a coworker kind of relationship, although we're definitely deeper than that now. It's just, I do miss that in my current life, not having coworkers that I sit across from and next to that I just know their lives and I know their drama and stuff like that. So I do miss that. It's probably another question in this mix, but we were talking about dating apps and how she's currently dating someone that she met on a dating app. And I was talking about how I have had success on dating apps and such. And we were like, so is this going to be the new norm, especially in New York where, you know, yes, you meet a lot of people, but I still feel like it's pretty huge. The dating app culture is huge here, and I'm sure it's huge in other places, but it's really huge here. I just feel it so much bigger here than I felt when I lived in Maryland and such. So anyway, I think it's going to become a new norm, and it's not going to be like a taboo thing. Like I remember seeing on some guys' Hinge profiles, guys saying like, we don't have to tell our kids how we met. Like we can tell them we met at a coffee shop. I'm like, okay, but I mean, who knows what our kids are going to have? They're probably going to have some like crazy technology that's like even bigger than what the founders of Tinder and all of them even expected dating apps to become. Like it's just something that's just so far out of our brain capacity right now. Like I don't even know what's going to evolve, you know, what it's going to evolve to be. So I think that right now, at least, like I really would not mind meeting it'd be really great if I could meet my significant other on a dating app, because I feel like meeting someone out or just in public is like a beautiful meet cute situation that's like very rom-com like. But I feel like the next wave of rom-coms is going to heavily revolve around dating apps, because that's just how things have gotten, I think. And even in New York City, like this really populated city with a bunch of, you know, young singles and whatnot, a lot of people that don't want to settle down and that just meet out and, you know, drunk nights and whatever, I still feel like I've met the most promising people on dating apps because they're in the right place. They're in the place where it's kind of, I mean, yes, some dating apps are known for being hookup apps and such, or you kind of can figure out if a guy just wants a hookup or if he wants something real and he's not just, and I think the biggest telltale sign of this, which isn't even like definitive, but I think it's like, does he just, you know, Hinge message you / text you when you're out at night to come over, or is he actually making plans with you? Is he like, let's get dinner next week? I think that's pretty telling. That's a pretty big difference. But yeah, I wouldn't mind meeting my significant other on a dating app. I have met people out, you know, I like the idea. Of course, I think it's more romantic to meet someone when I'm out and not expecting it. And when I'm opening up an app, I'm expecting to meet people, you know, but I just think that thinking realistic. I'm not going to write off dating apps. There's people that I know that are like, I will never get on dating apps. And I'm like, okay, more for me. So that's kind of my opinion on that. Okay. There's so many sex questions. You guys always say I talk about boys too much and whatever, but you guys are asking me about it, so I definitely want to talk about it. And I just think it's such a need because no one ever talks about it because people get royally shit on when they talk about it. So I welcome the shit on me because I will talk about it. Someone asks or just says, sex while you're single, casual sex, fuck buddies, one night stands, give us your opinions. I think that it all comes down to you and your... mental health is a big thing. It's and also just your position with yourself, relationship with yourself. If you're going through a really rough time, of course, you know, even a breakup or something like that, you just want to throw yourself into as many, you want attention. And that's a big problem for me. I just like crave attention all the time and it's really shitty. I wish I didn't. I wish that just my friends and me and my TV shows and you guys was enough for me, but it's just not, okay? So sometimes I go out and I'm like, kind of feeling, I'm like, I just want attention. And so, yeah, I do it. I've had casual sex. I've had a lot more casual sex than non-casual sex. And I think that it's fine as long as you stay intact throughout it. And if you know that, if you feel like you're losing yourself, if you feel like you're going on a crazy bender, if your friends are concerned about you, that's when you take a step back and say, is this healthy for me? Because obviously we know what we want. We want something serious, a lot of us. Some people don't. I do. I want something that is consistent and remotely serious, not like crazy serious, but just enough that I feel like they are putting in the same amount of effort that I am. And it's just sad because especially in a big, you know, city where everyone's moving so fast and everyone has these crazy jobs and whatever in New York, it's like, it's hard to find that. And so I just settle for things, which is bad, but it's just kind of a part of my story, you know? It's a part of me figuring out who the heck I am and what I want. And honestly, half of the very casual sex situations I've had have really taught me some insane things about myself, have inspired a lot of videos, a lot of podcasts, me being a creative person. As long as I feel like it's not hurting me or my art, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And of course, I need to kind of level set myself and think, okay, am I doing more harm than good in this situation to myself? But I think that because over the past few years, I've really developed such a good kind of understanding of myself. I've become very introspective. I think it's just spending so much time alone, living alone. I've really figured out what I need to do to keep myself sane. And so I think that it's something you can do, but you got to know that like if it's destroying you, you don't do it, okay? It's that simple. And you just have to know those signs of if something's really bothering you. If you get attached easily, it's really probably not in your best interest to have a lot of casual sex because, yeah, I mean, it's not. So that's kind of my opinion on that. Okay, let's answer some non-boy questions because I want to do that. So, okay, someone asked me, do you miss working at L'Oreal? So it's been, I actually had to think about it the other day. It's been November, December, 3 months, almost 3 months to the day actually, that I put in my 3 weeks. So a little under two-ish and a half months, I'm so bad at math, that I've been without a corporate job. And I miss, like, I just, you know, watched on Instagram, one of my former coworkers posted about this baby announcement, and like, I do miss the coworkers. But, you know, if you look at my old videos, my old podcast of me before I even got a job, I was talking about, or podcast started after I got the job, but my videos, I talked about how the main reason why I wanted a job, a corporate job, was because I wanted the teamwork, I wanted the community element. And so I don't technically have that as easy as I did before anymore, but the benefits of me being on my own just blow out of the water the negatives and just like what I was going through working a corporate job. And so what I do now, what I've been doing, is just like finding creative ways to make my own community and make my own coworkers. And I've actually successfully done it. I've made so many new friends I didn't know in the city, which people always say it's really hard to meet people in this, you know, meet people in post-grad and just making new friends. I disagree because I've made so many, and I don't feel like I'm different. Like, yes, I have Instagram followers and YouTube followers and whatever. But I think what it really comes down to is just reaching out to people and asking to get a coffee. Or if you meet someone out anywhere, even in like the line at the bathroom bar or something, and if you really click with someone, even if it's just like a little thing and you're like, wow, this person seems cool, swap numbers, get drinks. Getting drinks with someone is the easiest way. Or I mean, if you don't drink, but like getting coffee, I don't know, getting just something casual that isn't like a dinner or something that's kind of intimidating with a guy or just a friend or, you know, whatever. So just get drinks, get coffee, get their number, shoot them a text. I think for me, it's been easiest if they're similar to me in the sense that they are a freelancer, so they have time during the day. I'll, you know, meet up. I've met up in the past 3 weeks alone. I've met up with about 5 or 6 people I didn't know before that I just met, and I have follow-up plans with like almost all of those people to do other things. So a lot of them are graphic designers or influencers or just, you know, people that work within kind of the creative industry and just people that I'm super interested in getting to know, because I love my close friends, the ones I've had since college, so, so much. But it's kind of hard to obviously see them during the day because they work 9 to 5. And sometimes it's hard for me to fully relate to them because I think I'm the most kind of creative out there person in my friend group, like very in touch with my emotions. Not that they aren't, but like I really, you know what I am, I'm like dramatic. And so I feel like it's nice meeting other people that kind of understand that element of me. And so that is kind of what I've been doing lately to combat my sadness of not having the community, which definitely is what I miss most about working at L'Oreal. Truthfully, I don't miss a ton other than that, but it's also been 3 months, so who's to say in a year I won't be like wanting my job back? I don't know, but so far that's how I'm feeling. So taking a quick break in this episode to introduce the sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Lola. You guys know I'm obsessed with Lola. I talk about them all the time, and I'm just going to talk about them one more time because I love them so very much, and you guys need to get started with Lola. Basically, it is a modern approach to feminine care. It's a female-founded company that offers a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. I turn to them every month for my monthly tampons. They also have sex products and other things. Basically, the founders just figured that, you know, women should not have to compromise when it comes to feminine care products. So basically all their products have just no BS, no mystery fibers, no doubts about exactly what is going into your body. And the products come in a simple, super customizable subscription. So you get exactly what you want, what you need, when you need it, and you don't have to worry or compromise at all. Some major brands for tampons, pads, etc. use a mix of synthetic fibers in their products, including rayon and polyester, which is kind of scary. So luckily, Lola has no added chemicals, fragrances, synthetics, or dyes. They're 100% organic cotton, and they come with BPA-free plastic applicators or environmentally non-applicator tampons. So you feel good about what you're putting in your body, and you can just feel good about buying them because for every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S. You just feel good about it. I just love Lola so much for so many reasons. And of course, we have a special little deal for you guys. So for 30% off of your first month subscription, visit MyLola. That's M as in mango, YLOLA.com, and enter my code HelloKatie30. That's Hello, KATY 30 when you subscribe, and you can get 30% off of your first month subscription. So it's a no-brainer. Definitely give it a go. You'll love them as much as I do, I'm sure. And that is it for this little sponsored segment. Thank you, Lola, for sponsoring another episode. I appreciate you guys a lot. And let's get on with the episode. Okay, next question. Would you ever get any tattoos? So people ask me this actually quite a few times, like a day. People ask me this a lot because, of course, I design tattoos, so people are always wondering if I'll get one, if I'll design my own, that sort of thing. And I guess the short answer to that is no. Not that I wouldn't ever get one, but probably not for the next like 10 years, like, which sounds drastic. But I am such an indecisive person by nature. I just really can't commit to things. And I would just, it would really make me very upset if I got one and I wasn't fully obsessed with it. And it would just really drive, like, I can't deal with that sort of just commitment, I guess, which I'm pretty good at committing to like certain things, but tattoos and like even a hair color, sometimes I've gotten really emotional after a haircut because I just don't like how it turned out. And so I just, yeah, I can't right now. I think something beautiful that I might get down the road is my kids' names when I have kids someday, hopefully. My aunt actually has the names of her sons and her daughter, or she just had her daughter, so I think she's getting her daughter's name soon, but she has her son's names written in this beautiful calligraphy script on different parts of her forearms and her wrists. So I think that's beautiful, and it's like such a lasting memory, and it's something very personal that she'll never regret getting, obviously, because she hopefully doesn't regret having her kids. So yeah, I think that's beautiful, and maybe I'll do that someday, but not for a little while, I don't think. Okay, another little juicy dating question. Someone asks, why are guys afraid to be vulnerable? And obviously, it's like a generalization type question. Like, why are many guys afraid to be vulnerable? There's certainly guys that are not afraid, but they're never my type for whatever reason, which sucks because I always end up having guys in my life where I'm just like trying to get details out of them about like their trauma and their lives. And I'm so like that I just need to know everything about people. And yeah, that's definitely just something about me. But why are guys afraid to be vulnerable? Why are some guys afraid to be vulnerable? I think the reason why, I don't even think it's like they're, maybe they're afraid, sure, but I think that the thing is, guys, they don't have to be. Not that we have to be either, but guys, like, okay, this has been my answer to a lot of different questions I've had with my friends recently. It's like, okay, why isn't he calling me? Why isn't he giving me attention? Why is he ghosting me? You know, guys aren't vulnerable because they don't have to be, because we are still obsessed with them. We're still wanting them back. We're still going on dates with them when they give us the bare minimum. And so they feel like, oh, well, I don't have to put in the extra emotional work of being vulnerable with this person, or I can just be fake vulnerable. I can tell them the things that I want them to know, and that's it, because they're still going to sleep with me anyway. They're still, you know what I mean? So until we kind of challenge them and say, you know what, I don't think, like, I need you to open up or I'm not going to be here. And if they, of course, you know, if they don't get it from you, they might get it from someone else. And that's fine. That's telling. And it's going to suck. It's going to hurt. But that's when you move on. Because if they are not putting in as much as you're putting in terms of being open, being honest, telling you, I mean, of course, there's certain things people don't want to share because they don't want to share them, and they shouldn't have to until they're super comfortable, and that's perfectly fine. But I'm talking about just normal details that people should know about other people. Like, I've had certain friends that have gone on dates or even dated people that are super tight-lipped about certain parts of them that makes it super hard for my friends to trust them. And I even had a friend, I'm trying not to like get too deep in my friend's business, of course, but I had a friend that one of these guys she was seeing just would never tell her where he was going ever. And not like she was a crazy stalker and like needed, but he would just never even tell her. Like, she'd be like, oh, like, what are you up to? And he would be super vague about it. And it's like, okay, like, I mean, of course your mind's going to jump to the worst things, and we just need some reassurance that you're not going to hook up with stuff. You know what I mean? So, and of course, she was still into him, still going on dates with him, whatever. So he didn't feel like he needed to give her anything more because she wasn't demanding it in a way, you know? So I think that that's kind of the answer to that. It's like, they're not because they don't have to be, because they get away with not being vulnerable. And for whatever reason, I mean, I'm just a freaking open book. I just, you know, spew every detail of my life. I meet a guy and he knows my life story from back to front, upside down. And yeah, that's just me though. So some people are not like that. But kind of going off of that though, I also feel like it's kind of a telltale thing. I went on this, obviously you guys know about the guy that ghosted me. We did a whole episode on that. I also didn't tell you guys that I saw him. Oh my God, I should have started with this. Whatever. If you guys are still here, you're the real ones and you get to know this detail. I actually went to the bar that we went on one of our dates at, that I took him to, by the way. So I told him about it. My friends and I went to this bar the other night. It was kind of like a more casual, it was like a Saturday night, so it wasn't as crazy, or was it a Sunday? I don't even know what day it was. Went to this place and I saw him there, making out with some other girl in front of me. And I didn't realize it was him from the back. because we were drinking and whatever, and then he like kind of slightly turned, and I was like, oh shoot, that is him. I feel like my stomach is in the basement of this bar right now, because I am so just it. I was overcome with emotion over this situation of just seeing him, especially with a girl, and it just all kind of clicked in my mind that maybe there was a reason he was ghosting me, because he was hooking up with other people. Who knows how many other people? I don't even know. And of course, I did the logical thing that anyone would do. I sprinted out of the bar. My friends had to like run after me. They're like, what happened? And yeah, it was pretty shitty thing. And I came home and I journaled all about it. So now it's locked into my journal forever. And my future kids that get my journal are going to be like, who is this jerk? Let's look him up. But honestly, who knows? He'll probably be bald by then or something. So, but yeah, what was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say, I don't even remember what I was saying, but that was kind of more important. So, okay, we're going to close that topic. Basically, guys are not going to be what you want or be enough for you in the sense that they open up unless you kind of demand it in a way. Okay, another question I'm going to answer is, anyone in your family creative like you? I actually get this question a lot because some of you guys have been watching me for a while and kind of know a little bit about my parents and my sister and stuff like that. But if you're new here, I'll tell you guys, my mom is actually an elementary school nurse, and she, you know, when I was younger, she worked in the hospital. She was like an ER nurse, and she's a registered nurse, and now she works in an elementary school. She works at two elementary schools. She's kind of in charge of like the school nursing program. And my dad works in IT recruiting, so he does recruiting for tech companies. Excuse you, Mr. Taxi Man. And my sister is actually super creative as well. She dabbles in some art stuff. She likes playing like ukulele. She actually designs like all the banners for her sorority. So we're both super creative. I think my parents have like little creative pieces to them. My mom's like stylish, and she, I think she kept like a journal in her day, and like there were certain little things. And my dad actually was the one that introduced me to, you know, the computer and, you know, introduced me to how to make certain, like, he didn't teach me how to make a video per se, but he kind of gave me the tools to figure it out on my own. And I really just, guys, I don't really know where my sister and I, especially me, got this like very strange creative urge. I feel like it must, I really don't know. I think it was just, you know, being raised in a home where I felt like I could do anything, which just comes down to being parented well. I feel like my parents really, of course, I was very privileged, of course, not like super privileged, but I was more privileged than, you know, I was privileged, okay? I don't know how else to say it. We were a middle class, still are a middle class family, and I grew up in an area where there's a lot of pressure to succeed, but also I felt like I had enough support at home that I felt like I could dabble. My mom would take me to the art store, and I dabbled in all sorts of things. I was like knitting for a little bit. I was doing, you know, I didn't have pushback at home, which I think is a big reason as to why I have become this creative person that I am today, because I felt like I could do it. I had the means to do it. And my parents, even they inspired me to make my own money too. Like I started working at Rita's Italian Ice. That was my first job. Basically like an Italian ice cream type shop. I worked there when I was 15 because they were the one place in town that hired people under the age of 16, because I remember there was a certain like law, I'm not sure if it's still in place in Maryland, where you like can't hire people till they're 16, but I wanted to make my own money, and my parents didn't like give me an allowance or anything. They would just occasionally buy me the things that I really, really wanted. I even made a PowerPoint presentation as to why I needed a MacBook early YouTube, you know, days when everyone was filming those like, what are those? Like the photo booth videos, or just filming things on their MacBook. Can I even speak? Like the MacBook little camera, and posting straight to YouTube. I remember those days, and I was like begging my parents for one of those computers, and I didn't get one after that full presentation. It took like a solid year, 2 years. I was using a Sony Vaio for a long time to make my videos. But what was I saying? Oh, I got a job at Rita's Italian Ice because I wanted to save up for different video equipment stuff, and you know, things led to where I am now, which is great. But to kind of answer the question, I guess not like outwardly creative. I don't have like an artist in the family per se, but I was always super just supported in my arts at home. And I think that definitely relates to who I am today, which is really great. So thank you, Mom and Dad. Okay, so another dating question, just sprinkling these in throughout the video. What does it mean to you when a guy says he's not good enough for you, / you're too good for him? Okay, so I can only take this one way, just in personal experience of hearing this myself. I think that's usually what people say when, girls can say it to guys too, when they don't want to be what you deserve. They can be that, but they just don't want to have to put in that much effort. It sucks. It's basically the guy saying that, like, oh, you're too good for me. It's kind of like a way of saying, like, it's his way out, basically. He doesn't want to commit to you. And maybe he does know deep down that that is what you deserve, but he's like, okay, that's what she deserves, but, like, that's not what I want to give to her because I want to be free and I want to be able to, if I want to, hook up with someone else. That's the thing. Guys are always like, I want to have the option to hook up with other people, but, like, they don't know that, like, that's either not going to happen for them or, like, you know, they want the option. They don't want all their options closed off. And by really committing and giving you quote unquote what you deserve, they feel like that's what's going to happen. And so they think, like, oh, maybe I'm not right for you because I don't want to commit to just you. Maybe some other guy will do that someday. And, like, that's what I'm saying by that. And it makes them feel like they're being a good guy. And I hope that some people say this and they mean it, but for the most part of when I've heard it or I've heard other people, like when my friends say that he says, like, oh, it's not you, it's me, like, you deserve better, that's, like, just a telltale sign of, like, that's fucked up, you know? For me, at least. I'm sure people can interpret that differently, but that's kind of just, you know, from there, you're just like, okay, great, you're right. I do deserve someone better. I am too good for you. Bye-bye. Okay, another question. This one's about Lyme disease, which I actually plan on doing a full kind of video update on my Lyme disease and stuff because I do hardly really talk about it. But I do plan on talking about it more. So thank you for asking this question. She asks, any advice for working with chronic Lyme? It's such a struggle. I fully feel you. It's really hard during the winter. I remember my doctor saying that Lyme is worse in the winter. I think I've even touched on this in a podcast before, but it's definitely hard. It's hard, especially sitting in a certain position on your computer all day, and just the nature of, especially what I do, it's just like a lot of computer work, and I feel like that really exhausts me. You know, for you guys that don't know, there's certain chronic Lyme symptoms that, you know, some affect people differently or don't affect people at all. And it's, like, really just person-to-person basis. I'm actually going to see a specialist pretty soon to kind of remedy my symptoms. I randomly will just get super sore when I haven't worked out. Like, it's not from a workout. It's, like, a different kind of sore. It's almost like a growing pains sore. It's very strange. It's like when you're a kid and you used to have the horrible, like, growing pains of when you were actually growing. That's how it kind of feels for me. And it's in certain, like, my joints, and I get kind of swollen in my joints. And also I just get super exhausted. And it's like, I get plenty of sleep, guys. Like, I, as a freelancer, I can kind of figure out how many hours of sleep I should get, and it's, like, kind of easier for me to figure that out. I get at least 8 hours a night. I get super exhausted sometimes, just, like, even, like, in the, like, not even the middle of the day, like, the slump. It's, like, just, like, at random, I'll just get, it's not even, like, a, it's like a physical exhaustion sort of thing. And I get, like, you know, shooting back pains, certain back feelings that aren't right. And so it's definitely tricky. I know there's certain things that I should be doing to alleviate that, and I'm working on with my specialist, like, figuring out what those things are. I know I can do, like, acupuncture or something, and, like, there's certain things I can do, but for right now I try not to push myself, and I try to remind myself that I'm not being dramatic, that this is, like, an actual disease that I have, and I need to take it easy sometimes. And, like, I think it's a lot easier now that I am my own boss, so I can work in times where I'm just kind of relaxing, or just I get massages sometimes and just things like that. So it's tough. I feel you. It sucks. And it's one of those things where people say you're being dramatic. It's like one of those diseases people laugh at sometimes, like the Hadids have it and everyone laughs at them sometimes, or I don't think anymore, but there was a time where Lyme disease wasn't considered an actual disease. So it actually still, I don't think, is considered an actual disease in some parts of Europe. So yeah, it's tricky, but I'm learning to deal with it, and I'm actually meeting other people in the city that have it, which is super helpful to figure out what they do and stuff like that. So yeah, that's all about Lyme so far. Okay, next question. Favorite Netflix shows? And she said, please tell me you finished Gilmore Girls. So I've actually seen Gilmore Girls a bunch of times. Like, I just rewatch episodes. Same thing with Sex and the City. I love Sex and the City, as you guys know. I've rewatched that, like, so many times. I get mad that I've, like, seen the show because I wish I could see it through someone's eyes that hasn't seen it yet. Does that make sense? I get, like, really jealous of people that say they've never seen, like, Sex and the City or Gilmore Girls because they don't know what happens. And I just, like, sometimes hate watching things I know what happens. I'm like, no. I'm, like, screaming at the TV, like, no, we know how this ends. Like, whatever. So those two shows I'm, like, a longtime watcher of, and I'll watch whenever I'm bored. Same with Friends. I've seen all those, too. But my most recent shows I've been really into, Schitt's Creek. Oh, my gosh. You guys have been telling me to watch this for a while. And I was like, ugh, it just doesn't, like, sound like me, like, a comedy-style thing. Like, I'm not usually into comedies. I'm more of, like, a drama slash just, like, I guess Friends is kind of a comedy. But, like, I'm just not typically into the kind of narrative that Schitt's Creek is. And I'm kind of just, I actually am so sad because I just got to the last episode on Netflix, and I hear there's a way you can, like, bootleg the new season, but I haven't figured it out yet. Apparently they're on their last season, which I'm really heartbroken about. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do when I'm out of episodes. Probably the same thing I've been doing after, like, when Grey's is on a break, because I do love Grey's Anatomy as well. I've been watching that for a really long time. Like, I watched that with, like, my babysitter, you know? And so I love that too, but there's certain moments where I just, like, can't stomach a doctor show. So I also watched the Resident was really good too. I think that's also on a break, but I liked that one too. It's kind of similar to Grey's, but a little bit of a different spin on things. So I like that one too. What else am I watching right now? You season two, guys, I couldn't get through it. I'm still not done. And my friends think I'm crazy. They thought it was the best season, like, better than season one. And I, you know, I can see where people are coming from with that. I think the issue is I waited too long. And so I've been seeing all these memes kind of about how it ends. So I feel like I just, like, don't even feel like watching anymore because I already know what happens kind of without knowing. And so I can't finish it. So I still need to finish that show. But honestly, I'm not, like, super excited about any other shows. Oh, what was that show called? Oh, Sex Education. Okay, Sex Education's a really good show, too. It's, like, a British show, also on Netflix. I just binged season two, so I liked that show as well. But now I'm kind of, like, at a weird point where I don't know what to watch. So you guys need to DM me if you're listening this far in the episode and let me know what to watch, because I'm in a weird spot where I don't know what to watch. So help me out. But yeah, okay, so those are kind of my Netflix shows I've been watching. I also just love watching documentaries on Hulu, and I also have Amazon Prime, which helps me find, like, other things that aren't on the other two. So yeah, I like documentaries. That's really it. That's all I watch. Okay, I'm going to do one more question because we're at the point where I'm getting sleepy. I need to go to bed. I have a meditation tomorrow morning at 8:30. It's really early. Okay. Baby names you love. That's a good one. So I always, like, think of names and then I forget them, like, as quickly as I've remembered them, you know, or heard them. I'm, like, forgetting them. So tonight we are actually talking about baby names in my apartment with my friends. And the one that I just, like, didn't even realize I loved this name until it was said. And I'm like, okay, I'm stealing that. Sebastian for a boy. I feel like I'm gonna have a girl first, but, like, I'm not really sure. So Sebastian for a boy. And they'd call him, maybe not me, but, like, his friends would call him Seb. I love that. Like, Sebastian and Seb for short. I just love that so much. It would depend on, like, the last name and the middle name and whatever. But I also love, that's for a guy. So for a girl, I love anything with, like, do you know that, like, Elizabeth James perfume by, like, the Olsen twins? Am I saying it right? I think that's what they called it. I love the middle name James, and I'd love to do, like, either Elizabeth or, like, Eliza. I love the name Eliza and call her Liza or something. I just love the name Eliza. So I think the two right now I'm at is, like, Eliza, short for Elizabeth, short for Eliza, or something like that, or Sebastian, Seb. Those are my two names I think I have in my brain, but, like, I'm definitely going to forget them. And when it comes time for me to actually have a baby, I don't know what I'm going to name it. Probably, like, Peaches or something. I'm just kidding. I don't know if I'd name my baby after food, but I've been seeing a lot of crazy stuff these days. So who knows by then? It'll be like 2070 by then. Just kidding. That would be really Terrifying. Okay. So guys, that is it for this episode of Thick and Thin. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. I'm actually officially delirious now, so I need to go because things are going to get weird if I keep talking. So that is it for this juicy Q&A. If you guys want me to do more Q&As, just let me know in the DMs that's what you like hearing, because I think it's kind of fun to just take a break from my normal routine of talking about like one subject and then like stories and stuff. I think just like a lot of different stuff is always interesting. So yeah, hope you guys liked it, and I will talk to you guys all next Thursday, and I'm gonna post earlier, I swear, I promise. Okay, bye-bye.